into this place today. Okay, church, today is a miracle day here at New Life Church, really all weekend. Now catch these numbers. Friday night, we baptized 64 people, which was amazing. This morning at the 9 a.m. service, we have 104 people signed up. At the 11 o'clock, we have 145 signed up. And we'll see what shakes out by the end of the weekend. But this morning we had 410 total getting baptized this weekend at New Life Church. Can we say thanks be to God for all he's doing? All right, so now I want to talk to the candidates, the 104 of you who are signed up all around the stage. We've got young, we've got old, we've got people who are fresh to the story of Jesus. We've got people who've been following Jesus for a long time, but they've never been baptized. What's happening here? I want you to remember two things. In this baptism, there's two things happening. First, it's a funeral. It's the burial of all of the old story. It's a burial of all the old shame. It's a washing away. It's a putting down of the past that the enemy wants to hang over your life. Jesus, as you go under, it's being washed downstream forever. It's being buried in the sea of forgetfulness, okay? First, it's a funeral. But the second thing, and we saw this last Easter weekend, we saw the Good Friday funeral, but the second thing, it's a resurrection. As you come up out of the water, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to fall on you just like at Jesus's baptism. The heaven's going to open, the dove's gonna descend. This is my daughter whom I love. This is my son whom I love. In this one I am well pleased. And you're going to be raised up as you come up out of that water into fullness of life, into the power of the Spirit, into a new future. So today, the burial and the resurrection is happening all in one movement. Church, can we say amen today? Can we give God thanks? Okay, candidates, here's what we do. I'm gonna ask you four questions. And these are questions that have been being asked of baptismal candidates since at least 75 AD. We have record of this. Jesus was raised in 33, 40 years later, they're asking these questions at baptisms. So it's four questions that became the Nicene Creed. So I'm gonna ask you each question, and then you're going to say, if you believe it, at the end you'll say, I do, okay? So I'll lead you. So first question, look up at the screen. Do you believe in God the Father, that he's the Almighty God and the maker of heaven and earth? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Can you celebrate, church? We're gonna go question by question. They believe in God the Father. Second question, and this is the long one. It's about Jesus. He's a big deal, okay? So just watch this. Do you believe in Christ Jesus, that he's the Son of God, that he's eternally begotten of the Father, that he is true God from true God, that he was begotten and not made, that he's of one being with the Father, and through Jesus, all things were made? Do you believe that Jesus came down from heaven, that he was born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary, and that he was made man? Do you believe that he was crucified and that he died and that he rose again at the third day, that he's the living one from among the dead? Do you believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father? And do you believe that Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and that his kingdom will have no end? If you believe in Jesus, please shout, I do.
I do.
Can you celebrate, church? They believe in Jesus. Third question. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life who proceeds from the Father? Summarize. Do you believe that now the Spirit of Jesus dwells in you and that you carry the Spirit everywhere you go? If you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, please shout, I do. Can we celebrate that? Fourth question. Do you believe in these people? Do you believe in the Holy Church? Do you believe in the global church that all over the world today, every tribe, tongue, nation, and people group are gathered calling on the name of Jesus? Do you believe in the church? Do you believe in the forgiveness of sins? Do you believe that in the end there's going to be the resurrection of the dead? And do you believe in the life of the world to come? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Church, can we celebrate? Now, candidates, turn and face the congregation, please. Look out at your people. Church, they have made public proclamation to you and to the Lord, and now I want you to stretch out your hands. Extend your hands and begin to release your blessing. Begin to speak your God's peace over them. Speak courage over them. Speak faith over them. Speak wholeness over them. Go ahead, church. Today, Lord, we lift up these candidates, the 104 so far in this first service who have registered. And we pray, Lord, pour out your Spirit on them. As they're buried in the waters of baptism, we pray that all the shame would be drowned. We pray that all the anxiety of the past would be drowned away. We pray the curse of the enemy would be drowned away. And we pray that as they come up out of the waters, that life would be released, that joy would be released, that hope would be released, that salvation power would be released. We pray that the kingdom of God would break loose in their lives. We pray that you would raise them up to be a blessing to the nations of the earth. So Lord, today, establish them, we pray. Make them strong. Help them to follow Jesus all the days of their lives. And we as a church say, may the Lord our God bless you and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord smile big upon you today and may he grant you his shalom. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all the church said, amen. Now candidates, you can go to the tank where you're getting baptized. Church, here are the ground rules. The party begins now, okay? So you can gather around the tanks. It's gonna be up on the screen. When you see someone get baptized, scream at the top of your lungs, clap, shout, cry, do whatever you need. But the party begins. Let's worship the Lord as we witness these miracles.
It's in your presence, Lord. Lift your heads, all ye gates, and you everlasting doors. In the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Run.
To life. sing his praise aloud. Sing his praise aloud.
We're going to pause just for a moment. I want to give an invitation today. You've been sitting in the room, and there are a lot of you that are here, and you're watching people go into the waters of baptism. Amen. Celebrate. But some of you are sitting in a room and you've said yes to Jesus as well. And you didn't come here this morning expecting to be baptized, but the Spirit is moving on you. You're being led. There's something going on in your life and you're wondering if now is the time. And I want to answer that question. If you're here with your family and friends, today is your day. So we're going to invite you. We have extra t-shirts. We have extra towels. We want right now, you just look at your family, look at your friends and say, now is my time. Turn and tell them right now, I want to be baptized. And I want you to walk with them over to one of these tanks right now. They'll get your name. And I want you to participate. I want you to be a part of what God's doing this morning. So if that's you, right now, just turn to them and say, I want to be baptized. I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. Jesus is Lord of my life. And I want to go public with what's already been happening in my heart and my life. So I just pray right now, Father in heaven, around the room, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would come, that you would move upon the hearts of people to say yes to your goodness, to your kindness, to your grace, to your forgiveness. I pray that they would say yes this morning to a new story that's being written in their lives, a new story that's about to go public. And I pray right now that you would move upon the hearts of those who are ready. I pray that they would go into the waters of baptism and receive the new that you have given them. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So if that's you right now, step out. Go to one of the tanks. Let them know I'm here to be baptized. It's my day today. Come on, let's continue to worship and celebrate.
Testimony, and I'm gonna tell it. I'm not ashamed of where I've come from. But there's power in the gospel, and I felt it from the moment that I heard that good news. Oh, it was good news. I've been set free, and I know the truth. I got a testimony, and I'm gonna tell it. Come on, church. That he found. Hallelujah.
He loved.
He picked me up. He healed. He restored me. He changed. He raised me. And he gave me his Spirit and his name when he saved me. Oh, that's what Jesus.
Light.
because I know He holds the future. And life is worth living just because He did.
His body bound.
Let's just turn our hands toward heaven and just thank the Lord that we got to be a witness today of so many changed lives. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're still the God of salvation. You're a God of grace, a God of forgiveness, a God that still leaves the 99 and goes seeking the one. Lord, today we celebrate all that just happened, the miracles that just happened in front of us. And we pray for every person that was baptized that they be filled with the Holy Spirit, that Jesus would be Lord of their lives all the days of their lives, that they would walk today in a new grace, a new peace, and a new joy. And we're so thankful that we get to be a part of what you're doing on the kingdom in this hour. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. All right, amen. Turn and find someone around you and tell them they look good. Introduce yourself, say hi, say hello. I hope you never get tired of that. I just haven't gotten accustomed to people responding to Jesus going into the waters of baptism. Be careful when you're walking around over there. We have obviously concrete floors with water, and we have terrible insurance, okay? So just be careful. Don't fall in. We have no lifeguards on duty. Swim at your own risk. Good morning. Welcome, everybody. So glad that you're here. I want to say a couple of things. Number one, I woke up early this morning just amazed and marveled at what the Lord is doing among us. This is unusual. I've been pastoring for over 30 years. I've been your pastor here for 17 years. I've never in all of my life seen so many responses to Jesus in such a short period of time, my entire life. And I'm so grateful for that. I don't know if you know this, we've baptized 1,000 people in 13 months. And that's revival. That is a move of the Lord. That's Jesus doing his work. That's not me doing work or anybody else doing work. That's Jesus trusting us with these people. And I want to encourage you. I just thought this morning how proud I am of you for lots of reasons. Number one, for the way you pray, for the way you are concerned about your neighbors and friends and how you share good news with them. And I love the fact, I just saw a guy a minute ago, he said he invites all of his employees. He told me a minute ago, I invite my employees to come to church with me. Listen, that's why we're seeing salvation, because you're praying and inviting. And when you bring them here, bring them anything. It's your witness in the world that's making a difference. It's not my preaching or the songs we're singing, it's your witness and your belief that Jesus still has the ability to change lives. And I don't want to ever lose that in our congregation. I believe that the gospel is for everyone. And if it's not for everyone, then it's not for anyone. And I believe every life that is on the planet is not beyond redemption. That Jesus knows how to go and find the deepest and darkest and the most broken and bring them into healing. And I just always want to be a church that thinks that and believes that. I believe that sincerely. My own life is a testimony of Jesus finding the prodigal and bringing them home. So I just want to say thank you for that. And we're going to baptize 150 and at the 11 o'clock service. It's just going to be another raucous party at 11 o'clock. Also, I want to remind you, all the women in the room, that we have an amazing conference coming up this coming Saturday called the Her Conference. It's not the Him Conference. All the Hims stay home and all the Hers come to the conference, okay? And it's going to be great. It's going to be from 8:30 to noon here, and that's the way to register. Let us know that you're coming. I think we're going to have several hundred women here. If you're new to the church, this is a great way to meet other ladies in the church. It's going to be full of Jesus, full of joy. It's going to be a fun Saturday morning. So I want all the dudes in the room, you take care of the kiddos, all right? You can make pancakes. You know how to do that. And release her to come and encourage her to come. Drive her here. And make sure that everybody here gets to be a part of that. The last thing I want to tell you is I don't tell you enough, or as often as I should, how great a group of elders we have here at New Life Church. We have a group of elders. Many of them have been serving alongside me for the entire 17 years that I've been here. And a lot of the health and the joy and the peace and the strength that you feel is hidden strength. I tell people that the elders and leaders of the church are like the skeletal system of the body. You know you need it, you just don't want to see it as often, right? I mean, it's there. It's the reason you can walk. It's the reason that you have strength. But it's oftentimes hidden from view. But we know how necessary it is. And we have a great group of elders that help me lead the church. And one of the things they give as a gift to me and all of us that are full-time employees at the church, one of the great gifts that they give to each of us is a regular sabbatical. They give us extended time off. So they realize that the work that we do it takes a lot of energy from us, and it's a joy to do it, but it's a lot of energy. And so every 5 to 7 years, the elders will come to me and say, "Hey, Brady, take a break." And at 57 years old, I'm more prone to say yes. And so I want to tell you that I'm going to be starting a bit of a sabbatical for the next few weeks. You won't see me around, but I'm in good health. My marriage is great. My kids still love me. Everything is good with me, okay? But the reason it is good with me is because they require me to go away and refuel. So I'm going to go away for a few weeks. I'm going to refuel. I'm going to replenish myself. I got a couple of good trips I'm going to take with my family. I'm just going to sit with the Lord. I want you to think about starting last summer, we started a mission to pay off our debt. And by God's grace, we paid off our debt in December. I mean, we did it. By God's grace, thank the Lord Jesus. But, Easter came early this year. So, as soon as we went into Christmas, had record Christmas attendance, right into a really full spring season where we just culminated with Easter weekend. A little over 22,000 people came and were part of our Easter gatherings. And you see today, this is probably the most baptisms we've ever had in a single weekend in the history of the church. All that said, I need a few weeks of refuel. I need to re-soak in some of the things that the Lord's doing to me. So you're in good hands. Pastor Daniel, Pastor John, Pastor Andrew, Pastor, all these guys will be in the pulpit. A lot of the ladies will be in the pulpit. So you're not going to lack for good preaching and teaching. In fact, I hope you forget all about me for the next few weeks. Like, who was that guy? We remember his name vaguely, but I want to say thank you to you for allowing me to replenish and refuel, and I hope that's the same for you this summer, right? Are you okay with that? All right, I'll be thinking of you, praying for you, and I'll be watching online every Sunday to hold you accountable, so I'll be there. Okay, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13. I'm not going to share the entire message with you. Somebody say amen. Because it's 9:50, but I want to share a bit of this message with you today. John 13 is a life chapter for me. It was when I was a very young man, the Lord seared John 13 deep into my soul, and it has really, really led me as a pastor, leads me in my private lives, it helps me be a better friend. John 13 is about serving others. And you know, if you're around New Life Church, you hear three words a lot: worship, connect, and serve. And we pick those three words because they're paramount to who we are. So look with me in John chapter 13 and look at how Jesus served the people around him. Verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. Now this is one of the last suppers. This is the last meal. He took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. So he takes place of serving. In every other religion, God comes to be served. But in Christianity, God came to serve. And it's really what separates Christianity from other major religions is how the gods interact with human beings. And in no other place does God come to serve mankind like Jesus came to serve us. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Father in heaven, we read these scriptures today. I pray that something would awaken in us. I pray you would quicken us, challenge us, convict us, encourage us. Whatever is necessary and needed, I pray it would be done today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a moment where Jesus knows he's about to go to the cross. Jesus can see into the future. These very men, the same men that he were wiping their feet. By the way, Judas was there. He was wiping the feet of Judas, who was already in cahoots with the people that were wanting to betray Jesus. So knowing that this man was going to run from him, Jesus cleaned the feet of those who would run away from him. Listen, New Life Church, some of you need to know this about the God that's pursuing you right now. Now, some of you are sitting in this room and you watch these baptisms and you're not quite ready to say yes to Jesus quite yet. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus is not going to give up his pursuit of you. Jesus is willing to clean your feet even though you're still running away from him. And as far as you try to run from him, as often as you try to get away from him, Jesus is going to hunt you down, not to make you feel bad. He's going to hunt you down to serve you. He's going to hunt you down to clean your feet. And listen, I want you to notice that these men were not good yet. They were still wrestling. They were still doubting. There was doubt in the room. There was sin in the room. There was a lot of immaturity in the room. And yet Jesus takes the place of a humble servant. Before they could really ever do anything for him, he served them. I'm going to ask you a question today. This is a really critical question for all of us. How many of our relationships are transactional? How many of the people do you love and serve because they love and serve you back? The essence of Christianity is our ability to serve people who cannot return the favor. The essence of following Jesus is to go to the margins. It's the story of the man in the ditch. It's the story of the Good Samaritan finding the man who had been beaten senseless in the ditch, who could not repay him, yet he goes into the ditch and bandages his wounds, gives him money and takes him to an inn, makes sure that he is treated right and good, even though he could not return the favor. This was the message of Jesus. Listen, New Life Church, if we're going to reach the world around us, if we're going to make a dent in the culture that is broken and messy, if we're going to be salt and light in these last days, we have to get back to the business of serving people who cannot repay us. We have to get back to the business of loving people who are unlovable, who cannot return the favor yet, of taking the risk of going into those marginalized places. I did a radio show this week, a local radio show, and he goes, Brady, this guy looked at me, he goes, what is unique about New Life? What is it about New Life that you think is unique? I said, I hope it's not unique. I hope everyone's doing this. I said, but 17 years ago, when I became the pastor at New Life, the Lord said, go to the margins. Go to the margins of your city. Listen to the cries of the poor, of those who are being neglected. Go to those who are no one else is helping. Go and be a blessing to those who cannot repay you. That is at the core DNA of our church. That is central to our identity. That is who we are as the people of God. And let me ask you a question. Why is that so critical? Why is it just to feel good about ourselves, to maybe check a box off the moralism box? You know, we're moral people. We're good people. No, that's not it. Let me tell you about serving. Serving confronts something that's deep and dark in all of our hearts. Serving confronts our pride. Our ability to be humble comes from serving. Serving and humility are close cousins. You can't be humble without serving, and you can't serve without humility. Let me take you to one more story. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. This is a Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus standing in an open field in front of thousands of people. And he's talking about this idea of serving. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets or social media, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. He says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Listen to this. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Leave that up just for a moment. You have to believe that. This scripture will determine how you serve. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God sees every act of service, that he is going to keep an accurate account of what you did, but more importantly, why you did it? And will you stand before him on that last and great judgment that I talked about last week on Easter Sunday? I talked about standing in front of the last seat of judgment of God. What is he going to say to you? Jesus said, this is what we should want to hear. Well done, my good and faithful, say it with me, servant. Of all the things that Jesus is looking for, he's not looking necessarily for your intellect, although intellect is important. He's not looking for your theology, although your theology is important. He is looking for the tenderness of your soul. He's looking for your ability to serve when no one is watching. Over the years of my life, and I have fallen into all three of these categories, I found there's really three ways to serve. Number one, we can serve to be seen by others. That's pretty common, actually. I mean, it's really common. I remember my first year here. This is a really, it's not a funny story, but because it really made me mad at the time, and now I can laugh about it. I was walking into the World Prayer Center. I'd been here like 3 months, and we had something going on over there. There was some teaching. There was some kind of big event over there, and I was walking in, and a bigger crowd than normal had shown up for the event, and we did not have enough chairs set out. So there were some chairs stacked up against the wall, and all of us were frantically like grabbing chairs and putting out chairs, and I saw this lady who was in good health. She was young enough to grab a chair. She's just standing there watching the rest of us. I said, hey, grab a chair here. Help us put these chairs out. We got more people here than we think. Here's what she said to me. She goes, I'm a teacher. I'm not a servant. And I looked at her and I said, well, you're not a very good teacher then. Because the essence of teaching is serving. And she was so indignant that I dare ask her to put her hands on a chair. I was like, listen, this is exactly what I'm talking about. We can be served to be seen by others. Or, number two, this is another common thing in church world, we can serve in secrecy but be proud about it. You know, I did this when no one was looking. When I get to heaven, there's going to be a plaque on a certain wall with my name on it because of what I just did. I am so proud of the fact that none of you saw it, but I did it. Come on, that creeps into our heart, right? You kind of puff up, walk out to your car and go, yep, I'm the one that picked up the chair. I did it. No one was looking. God must love me more now than the rest of you. Here's the third thing, though. Here's what Jesus is after. We can serve in secrecy as an act of worship to God alone. Man, when you get a chance to listen, every opportunity you get a chance to be a blessing, every opportunity you get a chance to build someone up with your words, every opportunity you get a chance to give a holy hug, when you just a handshake, a touch on the shoulder, a word of encouragement, just strength to the body of Christ, every time you get an opportunity to do that, do it with all of your heart, with all of your soul, knowing that it is an act of worship. It is the most pleasing thing to the Lord. It makes Jesus smile. It makes God proud. He's happy over you when you're serving as an act of worship. So serving confronts this pride that's in all of our hearts. Here's the next thing, though. Serving is a witness to the world. Now, this passage that I'm about to read to you, the Lord, I was 22 or 23 years old, full of pride and spiritual arrogance, and just thought I knew more than everybody else. And the Lord took this to me. He said, Brady, either you lead this life that I'm about to describe to you, or I cannot bless you. This is what he said to me. If you don't do what I'm about to tell you, I cannot bless you to the level that I want to bless you. And this is the scripture. I remember where I was in my little house in Shreveport, Louisiana, with my Bible open in my living room. I know exactly where I was, reading my Bible out of John chapter 13. And the Lord said to me, a new command I give you, Brady, love one another as I have loved you. I don't know if that sobers you or not. I don't know if that awakens you at all. I don't know if that grabs your attention the way it grabs mine. But at 23 years old, I was brand new to the Lord. I had just come into the salvation story. I had just said yes to Jesus. And I just remember almost losing my breath because I realized how messy and broken and awful I had been. And in spite of all of that, by his grace, he had saved me. He says, Brady, just as I have loved you, you love other people. And don't deviate from it. Listen to this, verse 35. He says, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. I don't know, but I want to be marked as a disciple. This is why I don't get up here and rant and rave and rage against everything that's happening in the culture. I'm concerned just like you're concerned. I believe that our country, our world needs Jesus more than ever. I am not called to rage against the darkness. I'm called here to shine the light of goodness so that the dark can come home, so that people can find Jesus. They can know Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Would the people who know us best call us servants? I was thinking about this message today, and I said, the last thing I want to do, stand before New Life Church and preach this message while Pam is rolling her eyes on the front row. Wonder what my kids would think. So Pam and I were riding around this week, and I want to tell you a conversation, and I'll let you in on it. And we were just driving. I said, Pam, I have a question for you. Are you proud of me? Do you admire me? Do you think I'm your servant? Because I got to know. Because I can't preach this message if I don't know the answer to that question. And she gave me this amazing affirmation. She said, I think I admire you too much. I admire you a lot. So proud of you. So thankful for you. And she looked at me and she said, are you proud of me? And I went, absolutely. Thrilled. Can't believe I get to be married to you. Listen, I want you to ask that question on the way home today. Whenever you feel that, I want you to turn to the people who know you the best. I want you to look them in the eye sometime this week. All the men in the room, I want you to look at your wife. If you're not married, go to some of your friends. Go to the people that you're closest to, the people who know you best, and ask them, do I serve you? Am I a servant to your life? Am I a person that you see as willing to come alongside you? Are you proud of me? Do you admire me? Have I earned your respect? And what can I do if I haven't? That's the second question that's the hardest one to ask. And I was willing to ask that question because I was ready to ask that question. Pam, if you can't see me as someone that you admire, if you can't see me as someone that serves you, what do I need to change immediately to make that happen? Listen, this is the key to staying married for a really long time. All the married people in the room, this is the key. If you want to stay married for the rest of your life, and Pam and I have been married 35 years, and starting this August will be 35 years. And the reason that we have stayed really good friends is because we ask each other these questions on a regular basis. What can I do to serve you well? What can I do to be closer to you? Do you admire me? Do you respect me? And what can I do to make a difference? What do I need to change? I'm willing to change anything. I'm willing to walk a different path. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. That's how much that means to me. Listen, why is that important? Because before we can ever reach the world, we must first become a congregation who cares for one another. If we don't get this right, we won't get anything else right. If we don't get the relationships in this room right, the world is hopeless. Can't reach the world if we can't reach one another. Before we can ever reach the world, we got to care for one another. Listen to the outside world. Listen very carefully, and this is happening. The outside world will argue with us about our doctrine, but imagine if they were fascinated with the way we live as a family. Can't argue with that. They can disagree with us on marriage or gender or sexuality or whatever it is, but they cannot argue with the fact that we deeply care for one another. They cannot argue with the fact that there are no widows in need among us. They can't argue with the fact that we take care of single moms, and when someone's in a hospital, that room's going to be filled with new lifers. When there's a funeral, we're going to fill the room and comfort the family. When there's a wedding, we're going to fill the house and celebrate with the couple. We are that church. That's who we are. And why is that so critical? We're living in a world right now that is drunk on war and drunk on violence and drunk on vitriol. And this is the word of the Lord that gave me this week. He said, Brady, it's the house of calm that attracts those living in chaos. New Life Church, when you come every Sunday, you're going to come to a house of calm. All the world is hellacious. The world's ugly and violent. When you walk in here, though, you're going to feel the peace of the Lord settle over your soul. When you walk into New Life, you're going to see me on the stage wearing something black. You're going to see John Egan and his ankles. You're going to see all of this. But it's the same every single Sunday.
It's the same every Sunday. Why? Because it's the house of calm. It's the house of peace. We follow who? The Prince of Peace. And it's an intoxicating thing for the outside world to come into a place where black, white, and brown people, young and old, men and women, rich and poor, all gathered in one room, and with one voice, we are celebrating one person, and that's the person of Jesus. Stand up with me this morning. I like the fact that 15 minutes of my sermon was taken by baptisms. I'd be okay with that every single Sunday if 15 minutes of the sermon got taken by people's lives being changed. I want to read something to you. We're not going to have communion today because we've just been so busy. We'll be back and we'll come back to the table of the Lord next Sunday. I promise. We haven't given up on that. But I want to close today by reading something out of Philippians just as a prayer over you today, as a way of just leaving you with something that's settled over your soul right now. Maybe you walked in today wondering if you belong, if Jesus knows you. And I have good news for you. He knows you. He's pursuing you, and he's come to serve you. What an unusual God, the creator of the universe, that wants to serve his people. You know why he wants to serve his people? Because he wants his people to serve each other. So I'm going to read this to you out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Listen, verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Would you just turn your hands toward the Lord? Would you receive that as a blessing over your life? Father, today we are sons and daughters gathered in your name. We are the people of God that you have found. When we were not looking for you, you found us. And you saved us. And you brought us into your family. And you put your name over us. And you gave us your name. So that we are now adopted as sons and daughters into your forever family. And I ask right now in this room that every one of us would turn our hearts towards you and confess you are Lord, you are King. And Father, I pray today we'd walk out of this room with an eagerness to serve, with our mind already made up to serve, to be a blessing, to give strength where there is weakness, to give health where there's brokenness, or to be a light, to be salt and light in a world that's so hungry for salt and light. So now we go in the favor of the Lord. We go now in the strength of the Lord, carrying this good news with us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, can we celebrate all those who were baptized today? My goodness. So proud of you. If you were baptized today, hey, if you need a Bible, we'll give you a Bible today. All of those, I want our prayer team to come forward, our altar team to come forward. And we're here to pray for you. But if you need a Bible, come tell one of these down front, hey, I'd love a Bible. We'll give you one. If we don't have one, we'll buy one and have you here next week, all right? I want to pray over you. By the way, if you're new to New Life today, Guest Central is right out in the lobby. There'll be a whole bunch of people out there. They're very nice. Almost all of them are nice. And they would love to talk with you, answer any questions you have about New Life. So glad you came to church this morning. Come back next week. We're going to be back in the book of John, probably until Father's Day. So just stay in the book of John with us. Read it during the week. I think we'll be in John 14 next week. So just be a part of that. Go in the peace of the Lord. Have a great Sunday, everyone. Enjoy. Have a great day.